Masechet Baba Batra, Perek Yod, Mishnah Zayin. Mishnah says, Shene Achin, Ehad Ani, Ehad Ashir. If there were two brothers, one of them was poor, one of them was rich. V'hiniyach lahen avihen mehatz ubetabad, and their father passed away and left over a bathhouse and an olive press as their inheritance. The wealthy brother wanted to make use of it. He wanted to enjoy the bathhouse and he wanted to use the olive press. And the poor brother, he didn't have any money. He couldn't afford to keep up with the maintenance of the bathhouse and the olive press. So what did he want to do? He wanted to rent it out and have some income. So in this situation, we say, Asa'an lesachar. If the father previously used the bathhouse and the olive press for rental income, Hasachar la'emsa, then the children continue to rent it out, and the rent is equally divided amongst them. So the poor brother and the rich brother both have income from this property. Asa'an li'atzman, but if the father did not rent it out, but he used it for himself as a private bathhouse and as a private olive press, harehe ashir omed le'ani, kach lach avadim v'ilhatzu b'milhatz. The rich brother could tell the poor brother, if you want to use the bathhouse, it's accessible to you. You can use it. Go figure out financially, buy yourself servants, let them bring wood, let them heat up the water, and wash yourself in the bathhouse. If you want to go buy olives for yourself, come and crush them in the press, that's up to you. The poor brother can't force the rich brother to rent out the property because the rich brother could simply say that he has the right to use it and the poor person has the right to use it as well, just like their father did. Even though the poor brother obviously is going to answer, what are you talking about? I don't have the ability to pay for slaves or to pay for heating up of the materials in the bathhouse or to get olives. I can't do it. He can't stop the rich brother from continuing these services. We'll now talk about loan documents again. Shenayim shehayu b'ir echad. If you had two people living in the same city, Shem Ehad Yosef Ben Shimon, Veshem Ahed Yosef Ben Shimon, and they both had the same name. They both were named Yosef Ben Shimon, so that could become confusing for loan documents. Neither one of them could produce a document which claims that the other one owes debt to them. Because simply, if Yosef Ben Shimon A owed Shimon Ben Yosef B money, Yosef Ben Shimon A could claim that he was owed the money. He could simply come with the contract and say, what are you talking about? I'm the Yosef Ben Shimon that's owed money. The borrower could claim that he was the lender because the names are the same and therefore could become very confusing. So we say they can't have a loan document between them because there's no way to know which Yosef Ben Shimon was the borrower and which one was the lender. So the document basically becomes useless. Velo ached yachol lehotzi alehen shtar chov, and anyone else in the city as well cannot have a document that would be used to collect a debt from either one of them because either one of them could now claim that he wasn't the person who borrowed, but the other, Yosef ben Shimon, was the borrower. Nimsa le'ehad ben shetarotav. If somebody finds a receipt amongst his loan documents that says, shetaro shel Yosef ben Shimon parua, that says, the loan document which states that I owe money to Yosef ben Shimon is paid up, and he was a person, this third person involved over here, that borrowed money from both Yosef ben Shimon's, both of them he borrowed for. And he has a receipt that he paid back Yosef ben Shimon, but he doesn't know which one he paid back. We say, Shetarot Shenehem Piruin, then both of the Yosef ben Shimon's here are considered to have been paid up. He borrowed from both of them, but they're both considered to be paid up because we can't know which document was actually paid back or not. The receipt doesn't claim which Shimon ben Yosef was paid. So therefore, the borrower could claim that he paid both of them back. There's no way to prove it either way. And we're not going to take money out of him if they can't prove that they weren't paid. So therefore, Ketzad Ya'asu, what do these people in town do? Same town, same name. They want to have a little bit of business. They want to borrow money or they want to lend money. What do? Yeshalishu, says the Mishnah. They should add a third generation to name. So if they're both Yosef ben Shimon, go to their grandfather, say Yosef ben Shimon ben Yaakov, or Yosef ben Shimon ben Avraham. Add another generation to the chain so there won't be any confusion. V'im hayu meshulashim, if they both had the same grandparents, in other words, their grandparents had the same identical names, they both were Yosef ben Shimon ben Avraham, Yichtivu siman. Let them write a sign, physical characteristic about them. Let's say, I am Yosef ben Shimon, the tall one, or the short one. Let them write something physical that'll distinguish between them and the other one. V'im hayu mesumanin, yichtevu kohen. And if they had the same physical look, but they came from different tribes, then let them write in the contract, I am Yosef ben Shimon the Kohen, or Yosef ben Shimon the Israel, to distinguish between the two of them. Next case of the Mishnah. Ha'omer libno, shetar ben shetarotai parua, v'eni yodeya ezehu. Someone says to his son on his deathbed, the father was on the deathbed, and he says, I have a whole file of loan documents of people that I lent money to, that owe me money. One of them is paid. One of them I was paid for, but I don't know which one. And then the father passes away, and the son has no way to clarify which loan was actually paid off. We say, shetarot kulan piruin. The son has to treat all of these loan documents as if they were paid off. He doesn't know which document was the actual one that was paid off, so he can't force other people to pay their debts if he can't guarantee that they owe money, because one of these documents are actually fully paid off. But if there was one person who owed two different loans, and there were two different documents for those two different loans made from the same borrower, Hagadol parua v'hakatan eno parua. Then we know one of them is paid off, so one of them is definitely owed. So what the son has to do is he has to treat the larger debt as if it's paid off, and he could collect the smaller of the two loans, because that's a guarantee that at least that amount is owed to him, because his father said that only one document was paid off. The Mishnah will now talk about an arev, somebody who takes responsibility and guarantees a loan. So when could somebody who guarantees a loan get hit up and has to pay off the debt that he guaranteed? Mishnah says, "Hamalvet havero al yedei arev." If somebody lends money to his friend by the word of a guarantor, there was a third person who guaranteed that he was going to back up in the case that the borrower didn't pay back. We say, "Lo yipara min ha'arev." He's not allowed to get repayment from the guarantor right away. First, he has to go to the borrower and ask for the money back, the lender. Then the lender, if the borrower refuses to pay, the lender has to sue the borrower in court. If the court then tells the borrower to pay, and he has no possessions, no property whatsoever, and then at that point, the lender could go to the guarantor and ask for payment. But if the lender at the time of the loan said, I'm lending money to the borrower with you as the guarantor, on the condition that I'll be able to demand payment from whoever I want, basically from the borrower or from the guarantor, the lender has the ability to go to either one of them. Yipara min ha'arev. Then he's able to ask for repayment from the guarantor right away, but that's still only if there's no available property that's owned by the borrower, so collecting would be very difficult for the lender. So he doesn't want to deal with it. He doesn't want to sue. He doesn't want to have to go through the whole process. So he could go directly to the guarantor, and then he could collect from him, because he can't, there's nothing to collect from the borrower himself. There's a second type of an arev, a guarantor, called an arev kablan, where he's not just guaranteeing the loan, but he's telling the lender, if you give him the money, I will give the money back to you. He's more than guaranteeing it. He's accepting responsibility as if he borrowed the money himself, and therefore he has a very high responsibility. The Tanakhama till now would hold that the lender could go directly to the Arev Kablan for repayment without even having to go to the borrower. And even if the borrower has available property, simply he can show up to the Arev Kablan and say, you guaranteed it like it was yours. Give me the money. I don't want to even have to deal with the other person. I don't care what he owns or whatever. You're the guarantor, Kablan. Give me the money. But Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel can disagree. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel omer, im yesh nechasim lalove, ben kach uben kach, lo yipara min ha'arev. Says Rashbag, if the borrower has possessions, if he has property, then with the case of a regular arev, and in a case of an arev kablan, the lender is not allowed to collect from the guarantor first. Last din of the Mishnah, about the arev's benefit. V'chein haya Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel omer, Rashbag would say, "Hey, arev la'isha b'chtuvata." If somebody signed as the guarantor for a woman's ketubah, that means if the husband passed away or divorced her, he has to pay her, or this guarantor would have to pay her. V'haya ba'ala migareisha, and then the husband divorced her, so the guarantor has to pay the ketubah if the husband does not. Yadirena hana'a, what the husband has to do right away is he has to make a swear forbidding her from having any benefit from him. Why? Why does the husband have to make that swear? Shema ya'asu kinunya, because maybe they're making here a conspiracy. Maybe the husband does not really want to leave the wife, and they have a plot. They want to steal the guarantor's property. And that's what it means, kinunya, conspiracy al nechasim shel zeh. They want to steal the guarantor's property. Maybe the plan is to get divorced right now, even though they don't really want to get divorced. Force the guarantor to pay the wife the ketubah money that's owed to her because he was the guarantor. V'yachzir et ishto, and then the husband's going to remarry his wife, and they're going to live happily ever after, keeping the guarantor's money. So to protect the guarantor from this type of conspiracy, we force the husband to make a vow that his wife cannot have any benefit from him, and therefore he won't have the ability to remarry her once the divorce hits, and that's a way to avoid the conspiracy. If at that point in time the husband says, no, I don't want the guarantor to pay the money, I'll pay the money, then we're not going to make him make that swear. So it only takes effect, this need to make a swear, if the guarantor was going to have to pay, just to make sure there's no plot or conspiracy going on.